The text for our message this Thanksgiving Day comes from the first epistle of St. Peter, chapter 4, beginning with verse 7, as follows. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Here ends our text. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, whom we love because he first loved us, dear fellow redeemed. I wonder if you've noticed that it's getting harder to find gifts for people than it used to be, or at least it seems that way to me. One reason for it, I think, is because our society has become so affluent and so well-to-do that year by year it's harder to get gifts for people, because as soon as you think of something that a person could really use or might really like, the chances are he's already wealthy enough to have purchased it for himself. It stands to reason that a lot of money can be made by any company that can come up with a new or different gift idea, something that people aren't likely to have already. And it seems like every new product that hits the market is advertised as the gift for the one who has everything. Strictly speaking, of course, that's never true. There isn't anyone who has everything, regardless of their wealth. Well, no one but God, that is. God does have everything, of course. He owns and controls everything in the world. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Well, there's a challenge for you. What could you possibly give to God that he didn't already have? On this National Day of Thanksgiving, it's especially appropriate question for Christians to ask themselves. What can we bring to God to show our faith, to show our appreciation to the Lord for everything that he's given to us? Our text for today has a suggestion. We can give glory to God. Our Thanksgiving theme is a gift for the one who has everything. Peter will show us why we give glory to God, and also how we give glory to God. The idea of giving glory to God's a little bit of a difficult concept. After all, how can a person add any glory to the Almighty God? Scripture says, the Lord Almighty, he is the King of glory. And of course, it's true that we can't add any glory to God. To glorify God, rather, means to reflect his great glory, to show forth his glory, his grace, his loving kindness, and his mercy in the way we speak and the things that we do. It means to show and tell others about God's glory. That's the gift we bring when we glorify God. And it's always just the right gift to give the Lord to, because it's not something we need to do only once. We can give it to the Lord again and again. Not just in church on Thanksgiving Day, but every day in the calendar year. It'll never be out of place or inappropriate. In fact, God tells us that that's one of the reasons he put us human beings here on this earth in the first place, to give praise and glory to him. Peter says to the Christians, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Why do we give glory to God? Obviously, it shouldn't be an effort on our part to chalk up points with the Lord. That would never work. It shouldn't be an attempt to look pious and upstanding in the eyes of our neighbors. That might work, but it's not what we're aiming for. What it should be is an act of faith. It should be really a reflex action for the Christian. Remember the last time the doctor tested your reflexes? He took that little rubber hammer and tapped you on the knee. A muscle contracted and your leg moved. If it had not, you'd know there was something wrong. It would have meant that your reflexes weren't working correctly. And our giving glory to God is a reflex action. It's a natural fruit of faith. When you think about it, there would be something wrong with us, wouldn't there, if we didn't offer praise and glory to God who has blessed us so richly. Samuel once said to the people of Israel, "Fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things he has done for you." Obviously, that's good advice, especially for us Christians on this day of National Thanksgiving. We need to look around us and recognize the many blessings that God has given for us and our families over the last year. And one of the first lessons we learn is that our God is not a stingy God. He is an overwhelmingly bountiful God. It's certainly true, as Paul said, that the one who gave his own son to be our Redeemer is unlikely to withhold any other good gift from his redeemed children. As you find reasons to give God this morning, to give God glory on this morning of Thanksgiving, be careful to note all the blessings showered upon you and your family in the year past. Of course, if we had to enumerate them one by one, we'd be here till next Thanksgiving. But surely we need to thank God for a number of things, especially. We need to thank him for the rich country we live in and the standard of living that we enjoy. He's given us the highest standard of living in the history of the world. And isn't it strange, even as our country is recovering from one of the worst financial crises since the Great Depression, still we enjoy luxuries and items that we take for granted in our lives that our grandparents would never even have dreamt of. When have there been more luxury items that have been taken for granted by so many? Large flat screen TVs and smartphones and computers and hybrid vehicles. When has there ever been a greater variety of fresh food on our tables from all over the world? God has given us all these things and we're so used to them, we never return to say thank you to the Lord for those. Let's thank him today and always. Remember also in your Thanksgiving inventory to thank the Lord for the fact that we live in a country where we're free to worship as Scripture and our conscience dictate. That's something rather rare in the history of Christianity, and it's rare still in some areas of this world. We tend to think of martyrdom as something that happened centuries ago, yet when I visited India this time last year, I met a man whose father was killed because he was a Christian. And that's taking place in other areas, the Middle East, many countries, China. Remember also the precious gift of your Christian fellowship with like-minded believers here at Ascension Lutheran Church. Remember and give glory to God for the family and the loved ones that the Lord has given to you, for friends and acquaintances, for your job and your sources of income, for your health, and all down the line, blessings that are literally too many to name. They all come from your Heavenly Father, ultimately, as the Apostle James acknowledges. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. And of course, the one gift that dwarfs all the others, with the season of Advent beginning in 3 days' time, we're reminded once again of the gift of a child born in Bethlehem, the Son of God, who was sent by God to redeem fallen mankind, to redeem mankind which was sinful and had turned away from him and disobeyed all his commandments. He gave his son. God sent Jesus down to earth to live a life of poverty and homelessness. He sent him among wicked and treacherous men who plotted and schemed against him and persecuted him. Finally, God sent his only beloved son up that last lonely hill of Calvary, there to suffer death for all men. That's how much God loved you and me. And surely there'd be something terribly wrong with our spiritual reflexes if we didn't love him in return. And we do. We love him because he first loved us. That's why we give glory to God. But how exactly does the Lord wish his children to glorify him? Well, One way is by doing exactly what you're doing right now, by gathering here to worship with other believers, to sing His praises, to pray in His name. You're glorifying God. But giving glory to God doesn't stop when church is over on Sunday morning and you walk out those doors. Giving glory to God is the way you live your whole life. An old cowboy once put it this way. He said, "Now I'm working for Jim here. If I spent one day a week sitting around telling people what a good fellow Jim is and singing songs about him, I'd be doing just what a lot of Christians do. But it wouldn't suit Jim very good, and I'd get fired mighty quick. No, my work is to saddle my horse every day and ride out among the hills, making sure that Jim's herd is all right and not suffering from lack of water or feed or wandering off or getting stolen by cattle thieves. Then I'm showing my love for Jim and serving him the way he wants to be served." As you know, what you do very often serves to glorify God better than what you say. And our text tells us some things that we can do to give glory to God and to show our love for Him. Above all things, it says, have fervent love for one another. When you love God, it naturally shows itself in the way you treat your fellow human beings and especially your fellow believers. And of our love for each other, Peter says, it will cover a multitude of sins. That's a very strange idea, especially in the society in which we live today. Covering people's sins, that doesn't come naturally to most folks in our day and age. Rather, our system of gossip and the grapevine, and especially the more recent social media like Facebook and Twitter, they lend themselves to publishing people's sins, not covering them. Even for us believers, isn't it the first urge we have when we hear some nasty piece of news about somebody? Pick up the telephone or send a text or post something to Facebook. Here's another way you can give glory to God, by resisting that impulse. A great way to glorify God is by guarding your tongue and resisting the impulse to let others in on somebody's secret. Instead, if you learn about a problem or a difficulty someone's having, instead of telling it to someone else, why not go to that person and see if there's some way you can help that person, some way you can encourage him and comfort him with God's word. Do what you can to lighten that person's load. You're not just helping someone when you do that. You're also glorifying God. What more fitting way could there be to show your spiritual reflexes and to give back thanks to the Lord who has blessed you so richly. Peter goes on, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. And that's harder to do than it sounds. Welcoming people into your house and welcoming them to your table, perhaps even when you weren't expecting visitors, that's not always easy. Making visitors here in church feel at home and comfortable. Cheerfully sharing the gifts that God has given you with those who are in need, fellow Christians here at home and around the world. This is a service not only to them, it's also a means of glorifying God. Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." Another way that we give glory to God is by using the talents God gives us to serve Him and His kingdom. Each of you sitting here today has talents, perhaps many talents, that God has given you and that the rest of us need. Be a good steward of that talent. Put it to use for the kingdom of God. Uplift and support your fellow Christians with it. Our text says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. Whatever your talents are, maybe you're adept at teaching and communicating with children. We need volunteers to teach our Sunday school each year. Perhaps your talent is working with your hands, carpentry and handyman jobs. We always have a number of those ongoing here in our church property. Perhaps your gift is financial. Maybe the Lord's blessed you with a raise or some sort of financial windfall. You can use that. Put it to work in the kingdom of God. Maybe you have the type of personality that's able to reach out tactfully and encourage people whom we haven't seen with us in worship services recently. Put it to work. Use it for the kingdom of God. Maybe your only gift is the gift of a cheerful spirit. That can be a very important gift as you encourage other people, your fellow Christians, who may be going through difficult times, to bring them hope and a word of comfort from the Bible. The point is, God's grace is manifold. He gives many different kinds of gifts to all of us, and we can serve Him and glorify Him by using those gifts to help one another. Each one of us has our separate talents, our separate gifts, our separate place in God's plan. But each of us has the same goal, to serve the Lord and give glory to Him, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. That's the way we glorify God. This is our gift to the Lord who gives everything, not just on Thanksgiving, but every day of the year. You remember the story of the Good Samaritan. That man who was on his way down to Jericho that day really didn't have a whole lot on his plate besides keeping an eye on his donkey and making sure he didn't stumble and hurt himself in the road. Was another routine day, same old, until he came to that spot in the road where he saw the poor Jewish man who had been beaten and was lying bleeding to death. In that moment, his duty changed. In that moment, he became a rescuer, a nurse, a helper of the wounded. Well, tomorrow's a new day for you as well. Will you be ready for unexpected calls and for new responsibilities? Will you be ready to serve, to help, to use the talents God has given you? Really, the question I'm asking is, will you be ready to give glory to God? May the Lord give to each of us the faith to answer that question with a resounding yes. Amen.